Is Aleppo the new graveyard of empires? Aleppo, Syria's commercial capital before the war, has become a test case for the future of Syria and may become the empire's graveyard. If Western regimes have long trampled on Syria's sovereignty, hoping to lay waste a democratically elected government to better affirm their special brand of imperial exceptionalism, Syrians have proved to be tougher than most observers had imagined. Not to take anything away from other people's struggles when subjected to war, few have fought with greater determination than the Syrians. 5 years into a brutal, asymmetrical conflict, Syria has managed to carve a path of resistance when others would have cowered and submitted. Ostracized by Western powers and their allies, demonized by the corporate media, shunned by most Arabian regimes, pinned down by the vicious Daesh hordes and Wahhabi-financed mercenaries, Syria has risen as a giant among non-aligned countries, becoming the new graveyard of empires as well as of tyranny. There is more to Syria's war than political or even religious ambitions. Syria is merely another domino that was supposed to drop within the grand Zionist chess game that aims to see the greater Middle East balkanized. Syria's war is about the imposition of a new world order, the inception of imperial globalism. The new world order today means the surrendering of people's rights and dignity to imperial domination. If anything is to be remembered from Syria's war, it is the West's insistence to obliterate a country's sovereignty in the name of counterterrorism and national security. Whose security is desired and whose rights are being defended when bombs are dropped on civilians? Is there a hierarchy of life when some lives are considered superior to others? Whose lives are being projected ad nauseam as worthier than others? It is clear that safety and the rights of others are being trampled upon in the name of Western democracy, whatever that may mean. Syria's war is much more than just another conflict. It is the tale of resistance against oppression and tyranny and barbarism. It is the tale of a people refusing to bow to imposed rule and foreign aggression. There above the clamor of war have stood people that through decades have proved again and again that imperialism still can be opposed and defeated. It is in times of monumental challenges and apparently insurmountable odds that one's true worth is best demonstrated. Who could deny that Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, and of course, the Syrian army have proved their true mettle. Let us turn our attention to northern Syria and the city of Aleppo, where the very future of West Asia, or as the Westerners call it, the Middle East, is being played out. For all their efforts over the years, massively armed and financed by Western powers and their regional puppets, the Daesh terrorists and their patrons are losing against Syria's steely determination that insists on maintaining its freedom and dignity. The people have rallied around their president with a conviction that has shaken the walls of the palaces in Ankara and Riyadh. The Daesh terrorist mercenaries are on run as the Syrian army advances. Given the incessant propaganda about the West fighting Takfiri terrorists, Syrian army advances should have been hailed as a positive development and applauded, or at least viewed as a sign that maybe President Bashar al-Assad is a worthy political protagonist. Of course, in the eyes of Western politicians, President Assad can never hold any redeeming qualities. In this globalist narrative, only terrorists can be rationalized as partners, not democratically elected leaders. Last month, both the US and the United Nations vented their anger at Damascus over made-up grievances and trumped-up charges of war crimes, use of chemical weapons, and other telltales. The corporate media, as if on cue, act as an echo chamber for such propaganda, while Turkey and Saudi regime have worked to further train, arm, and recruit terrorist mercenaries. There is no mention of this, much less opprobrium, in the West. Informed observers of Syria's scene would recall how Reuters was only too keen to report the babbling of the so-called Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a one-man organization run from a flat in Coventry, UK. Reuters news report read, "Airstrikes on a camp housing Syrians uprooted by war killed at least 28 people near the Turkish border on Thursday, May 5th. A monitoring group said, and fighting raged in parts of northern Syria despite a deal to cease hostilities in the city of Aleppo. And footage shared on social media showed rescue workers putting out fires which still burnt among charred tent frames pitched in a muddy field." White smoke billowed from smoldering ashes, and a burnt and bloody torso could be seen in the footage. Contrast this with how RT reported on the tragedy based on empirical evidence, not imaginary sources. RT reported, "Considering the fracture pattern seen in the pictures and videos taken at the site, the camp could have been shelled either intentionally or by mistake by rocket artillery, which is in active use in the area by militants from the terror group Al-Nusra Front." Major General Igor Konashenkov, Russian Defense Ministry spokesman, said on Friday, May 6th. He added that after analyzing photographs and video footage from the devastated camp available online, it became evident that there are no airstrike shell craters or other signs of an airstrike. The Russian Defense Ministry stated there were no air sorties over the area of the refugee camp on the day of the attack or on the day prior to it. Konashenkov stressed, "We have analyzed airspace objective control data for the area as of May 4th and 5th, 2016. There were no flights of Russian or any other aircraft over the camp area." Let us look at the road so far. Ever since Russia entered the Syrian fray last September, that is 2015, at the specific request of Damascus, one must add, and in accordance with international law, Syria has successfully capitalized on Moscow's military and intelligence assistance using its troops against Daesh bastions. In 6 months, Syria managed to flip the war dynamic to such an extent that Saudi-sponsored opposition groups withdrew from the peace talks. As of last month, President Assad's forces stand on the brink of victory. One last push in northern Aleppo would effectively cut off Daesh and reduce this terror army like a punctured balloon. Needless to say that Turkey and Saudi regime have not looked too kindly on Syria's military successes, and so something dramatic had to take place. Straight from Washington's terror handbook, the media began churning out tales of oppression and human desperation. Newspapers and TV networks inundated their public with war images and stories of heartbreaking hardships. Forever, the villain of the story, Assad, was turned into war criminal intent on slaughtering his people for sport. Hiding behind the propaganda, the terrorist patrons moved for the kill, ready to deliver a knockout blow to the resistance. By refusing to submit to Western powers' shadow games, the Syrian people are forced to fight oppression alone. Worse still, those that remain silent and are unable to see beyond political manipulation could soon mean that they too would be denied their rights. This is already happening in some Western countries. Al-Nusra Front has gathered a force of some 6,000 fighters in preparation for a major offensive in Syria's Aleppo province as terrorists and their allies continue to disrupt the fragile US-Russian brokered ceasefire, the Russian Defense Ministry said. The escalation of the situation in a number of Syrian regions is first of all linked to the goal of the leaders of Al-Nusra Front and factions allied with it to derail the process of reconciliation. Head of the Russian Center for Reconciliation in Syria, Lieutenant General Sergei Kuralenko, said in a statement on May 24th. He added, "In the Aleppo region, Al-Nusra Front leaders are finishing forming an assault group totaling over 6,000 militants in order to block the government troops in the city with a strike from the east, while in the north they seek to cut off access to the Sea of Nubl. To win in Syria, the unthinkable is taking place. The rationalization of terror as a necessary evil against a state designated as enemy. Look not at al-Nusra military mobilization as another development in Syria, but the very smoking gun of Western guilt. Was it not Washington that received Ahrar al-Sham terrorists as if they were worthy representatives of Syria? Whatever happens in Aleppo will determine how the war on terror unfolds." Dear listeners, what you heard was an article authored by Catherine Schachtem. She is a contributor to Crescent International and other media outlets.